Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Time to bring in the outstanding and a great friend of this show, and I always enjoy the fact when we actually get to sit down face-to-face. That's Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. First of all, Dennis, great to have you with us. Thanks a lot for your time.
It's great to be with you, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks. There's been a lot of money and a lot of movement in a short period of time, and with the early signing day 2 weeks from tomorrow, it has to be that way. So let's start with Brian Kelly. How did this come about where the door opened and, you know, we knew LSU was hiring, but everybody was focused on Lincoln Riley and not on Brian Kelly?
Yeah, I think, you know, LSU called everybody, and when it became apparent that Lincoln Riley was either going to stay at Oklahoma and then subsequently go to USC, then they went down to the next name on their list. But, you know, it was a week ago, Steve, where you made that comment, you know, kind of invoking Mike Tomlin, never say never, but never, that he wasn't going to leave, and using Barry Godmother talk, unless the Barry Godmother delivers $250 million, where it was very nice of the guy, Barry Godmother. She only had to deliver 95 over 10 years. So the hypocrisy in the profession is just stunning. I mean, it's just better to say nothing, better to be ambiguous, like Luke Fickell has been, you know, the whole time. You know, I don't think he's ever said the words, "I'm coming back to Cincinnati next year," but why would you? I mean, at the least, you get an extension. But for, you know, some of the stuff these coaches have said is beyond the pale. And then to leave, you tell me, can you remember a football coach leaving the week of a championship berth? Because that could happen Sunday for Notre Dame, and it wouldn't be that hard. He has chosen to go recruit Louisiana high school players over chasing the national championship. It's just stunning.
And I think that if I'm on the college football playoff committee, that affects how I feel about it. In other words, that, you know, do I want to put a team in with an interim head coach?
Yeah, that's something I'm trying to chase down. Apparently, Gary Palm, our CFP maven, says that doesn't come into play, but in the written protocol. Now, injuries obviously are laid out, but look, these are humans, and you know, they have that in the back of their minds. They have prejudices and preferences just like the rest of us. It's just like any fan. They can't deny it. So if you sit there and look at Notre Dame and they have a chance to get in, but they don't have a coach. I mean, Jack Swarbrick, the AD, literally said today he's leaning towards not having an interim. That's fine. That's fine. You know, he believes that much in the staff. But you know, if you're sitting there going, you know, a Notre Dame with Brian Kelly sure looks a lot better than a Notre Dame with a college of coaching.
I mean, is the door also open to the possibility of both Freeman and Tommy Rees go with him down to LSU?
I will find out. I've been working on a column and working the phones. They haven't thought that phone.
Okay, gotcha.
I have.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. Yeah. Lincoln Riley caught me a little off guard going to USC because I hadn't heard his name connected to it. When that got the dominoes rolling, what was your thought process there?
I wrote yesterday that I didn't get on him. I just said he's 38 years old, a typical 38-year-old in a high-powered job, very successful, gets a chance to upgrade himself, quote-unquote. He's going to do it. You know, the difference here is that, you know, it came the day after they got eliminated from the Big 12 race and the playoff. You know, again, what would he have done if they'd beaten Oklahoma State? But he'd given them five straight years. I don't think you can blame Lincoln Riley and call him a traitor because he's delivered two Heisman Trophy winners, four Big 12 titles, countless excellence there. When I tweeted yesterday, he's given Oklahoma five of their best years ever. People lost their minds. They thought I meant the best 5 years ever. People don't read by them.
Yeah,
he delivered five of their best years ever. You can include Bud Wilkinson and everybody else. How many of those coaches have won you know, four championships to live with two Heisman winners and fill the stadium every week, and three playoff berths. Nobody except Lincoln Riley, so I think that's a mistake. So I don't blame him, and I don't blame, you know, Brian Kelly for going 12 years. I think after 12 years in sports these days, the relationship between the coach and school or team just wears out. It's the way he left. You know, he was, you know, it was a championship on the line. When you're addressing the play, address the players this morning at 7 a.m., what do you tell those guys? By whatever you say, you're saying, hey, I'm leaving, it's not worth it. That's what you're telling them. There's nothing else you can say by your actions.
And see, what's interesting is when you do that, you've been addressing full, complete buy-in to each one of the players in that room since the day they walked into that room, and you're the guy that's not buying in.
The loyalty thing, and I keep writing it every time something like this happens. How do you believe these guys? Let's go back to 05, Nick Saban. I'm not going to take the Alabama, you know, job. You know, what Brian Kelly said last week, it's just tired and old, and everybody's being played. And they want loyalty. And remember when the transfer portal started? Oh, we have to have loyalty. Now it's become such a reality that if you're a coach and you say that, you're really hurting yourself in recruiting. Because they've been proven wrong. You know, anybody can do anything at any time in terms of bettering themselves, whether it be at a job or a transfer portal. It's just how you do it. And they just look like hypocrites. You know, and I am painting a broad brush here.
Yeah, because that's been one of the criticisms for Dabo Swinney. They say he hasn't done a good enough job in the transfer portal. Now people are embracing and they want you to use it. I'm still here, Dennis. Yep. I said that's been one of the criticisms for Dabo Swinney. They say he hasn't embraced it enough and used it enough. The fans actually want you to use it now.
Yeah, I have nothing to say bad about Dabo Swinney in the transfer portal.
That's right.
This year might have been his best coaching job.
I agree with
think
you.
About it.
I completely
you know,
agree
they
with
were
you.
Terrible offensively. The quarterback thing, I don't think ever panned out. But to milk nine wins out of that team, I think at the end of the year was pretty good. And then he delivered championships. So, no, I'm not going to say anything bad about that.
Yeah, exactly right. I completely agree with you. I think it was his best coaching job. But just because it didn't lead to a national championship, I thought he did a lot of great work there. Now, somebody who made the natural transition of upward mobility is Brent Pry, who left today here at Penn State to become the head coach at Virginia Tech. That's the way things normally have been done.
right, yeah. No, he's very valued. I heard his name early on in the Virginia Tech opening, and he's well-respected. The year he was promoted to defensive coordinator, Penn State won the Big Ten and went to the Rose Bowl, and has been really, really consistent. Still, you know, young guy at 51. And this is a great opportunity for him. And Virginia Tech is so desperate to get back of some semblance of Frank Beamer. I think this is a great opportunity in that he has that sort of leverage to get what he needs to win. I think Penn State is right now sixth in the Big Ten in total defense, but seventh in points given up per game, which is really how you should measure things. So they've been pretty good.
Right. No, Brent did a heck of a job here. Back to Notre Dame for a moment. So give us a measure of the landscape. Who do you think are the potential options of names that will be thrown out for the Notre Dame job?
I think Luke Fickell's the turn down. You know, you hear of Marcus Freeman, who is the defensive coordinator, has come over from Cincinnati. He's well-respected and got plenty of experience. I thought he'd be made the interim, but Jack Swarbrick, the AD, has apparently said that he's not going to hire an interim. I mean, it's just going to be, like I said, a college of coaches. They're just going to coach them as far as they go, which leads to the question, you know, who makes the tough calls on 4th-and-1 and timeouts and game management and everything else. That's another story. I think they have to place a call to Luke Fickell, and I think if he was interested, I think they'd wait for him, you know, unlike what Brian Kelly did. Because they need, there's a a desire there to get back into the traditional Catholic high schools. There's always mind for talent. You know, Luke Fickell has a strong Catholic background. He's a Catholic. We all know that. I think it would be desirable for him. But there's significant work to do at Cincinnati, and he's not going to be distracted by this. You know, if they get to the championship game, we're talking about the second week of January. And again, I think Notre Dame would wait, but, you know, we'll see.
I know we had a limited window with you. I appreciate the time you gave us very much, Dennis.
All right, Steve, thank you.